Ghost are not names, they're titles. They're titles. And of course, there's some people that teach you got to say this when you baptize somebody. You know, I was baptized that way. Before I found the body of Christ, I was baptized in the name of, somebody said that over me. And they put me in the water. They said, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. They didn't say the name, but they just said that because of this scripture. And that's, you know, they were doing the best they knew how to do. So I appreciated it, and I think God saw it, and I think God honored it until he helped me to understand more. And so he would just, here he was telling them. They knew what the name was. You know what? The angel told Mary, said, call his name, or told Joseph, call his name Jesus. What did he say? Where he said, I came in my Father's name. What does that mean, by the way? To come in the Father's name. In other words, he had authority to proclaim God's name, God's character. In other words, God gave him his name to operate in. And he came in that name. Put it up there, Brother Weininger wants us to show that scripture. 3:14, Colossians. Ephesians, yeah. Where he bows his head to the unto the Father. He bows his knee unto the Father. Back it up again. Back it up. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom, he's the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. It's, his name is Jesus. God, Jesus came in his daddy's name. That's the name he gave him. It was the authority that he gave him. That was his Father's name, the whole family in heaven and earth is named after Jesus. It doesn't matter if you use Jehovah or, a Hebrew name or a Greek name or Latin name. It was the name that he was operating in, and God gave him the name, and it was his name. It was his character. It was his authority. We'll look at some more on that here in a minute, but I want to look at Acts 2:38 because here, right here, is two big, big questions in religion concerning baptism. Some people baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Some people baptize in Jesus' name. But I challenge everybody to find me one scripture that says to say anything when you baptize somebody. There's not one scripture in the Bible that says to say anything. Not one. Just said, do it. Do it in the name. See, these disciples were Jews, and they understood something about what he was talking about. And look in Acts 2:38. The oneness people who believe that God, Jesus, and the Holy Ghost is one person, they believe that they use this scripture all the time. For Jesus' name baptism. Well, God gave them some revelation on Jesus' name baptism, but they didn't get the full revelation. They knew the name. They got it that it wasn't the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. They got it that the name is Jesus, that you're to be baptized in Jesus' name, but they still don't know what that means. They just think that's, you say it. If you baptize people in Jesus' name, you're baptizing them right. But that's not what that means. Well, we need to look at that. He said here in Acts 2:38, Then Peter said unto them, they asked, what are we going to be to do to be saved? How can we be saved? He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. See, don't say it, just do it. Be baptized in the name. How do you do that? For the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. That day there was 3,000 added to the church. Don't you know they had a big baptism service. There had to be a great outpouring of the Spirit that day. People no doubt received the Holy Ghost, come up out of the water, many of them. You don't have to get the Holy Ghost when you're baptized in water, but you will receive the Holy Ghost if you keep listening to the right message and you keep having faith built in your heart for it and you keep asking God for it. He wants to give it to you. As a matter of fact, He'd give it to you the very first time you ask for it. The only reason you can't get it, it's you. You might think it's too hard. You're afraid to open your mouth. I told that story about, what it's going to sound like. I told that story about this woman, that went to Brother Frayer's church out there in Redwood City, California, and she'd been trying to get the Holy Ghost for a long time. Somebody told her about that church. She went over to visit, and they got back in the dining room, and she told some sisters, said, I've been trying to get it. They said, you got the Holy Ghost? She said, I've been trying to get it, but I can't get it. They said, well, you can get it here. They said, she said, I don't know if I can or not. I've been trying and I can't get it. They said, just come back here in this back room with us. You'll get the Holy Ghost today. They got her back there and they got her down. And when she told this in the Dominican Republic, I had to get up and do some explaining, because she said, those women just told me to say, la, 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 la. Said, just open your mouth. She said, I thought they was going to whip me if I didn't obey them. She said, now you do it now. You get your mouth open and you start saying, la, la, la. And she said, now let's get in earnest and praying to God and just keep saying it. Just say, la, 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 la. And she said, did you know I got the genuine Holy Ghost saying, la, la, la? She said, before long, the Spirit of God took over, and I started really speaking in tongues. You know what happened to that woman that day? They got her to loosen up her tongue and her mouth and start saying something that didn't make any sense. They got her going. They kick-started her into speaking into tongues. I told the people, I said, that wasn't, la, la, la ain't the Holy Ghost. But I said, some of you need to get rid of your fears and start la, la, la-ing a little bit. Did you know that night, 42 people in the Dominican Republic got the Holy Ghost that night? You talk about a time. We had a time. La, la, la. That's right. Well, but here, really, Peter and Jesus was saying the same thing. Matthew 19:28 and Acts 2:38 saying the same thing. Notice what Jesus said, go forth, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, to every nation, baptizing them in the name. Not names, the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. On the day of Pentecost, Peter knew what that meant. He just said, be baptized, every one of you, in the name. Now let me give you something else about that. The only people on the face of the earth that could baptize somebody in Jesus' name was those apostles, those disciples. Those apostles were the only one that were, they were the only one that were ordained to do it. They were the only ones that were in the name. They were baptized in that name. They were, in other words, they were in that authority. God gave them authority, and they didn't have to say anything when they baptized somebody because they was in the name. And when you heard the message of Jesus Christ and the message of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and there was a man who was operating with authority, and he was proclaiming the name of God in the earth and working in authority in that name, he put you in that name. He baptized you in that name. Actually, the name is the body of Christ. It's the church. That's who really bears his name. See, back there in that day, it wasn't such a big question because there wasn't but one group of people that called themselves the body of Christ that was baptizing anybody in Jesus' name. Now, other people, I wouldn't be surprised at all what other people start baptizing people, you know. And there was people that came in and left out. There's people like this Apollos. He got a part of the message and went out, and he was doing things. But they didn't really have the authority. That's the other reason that Paul baptized those people over. Apollos had no authority. Nobody had sanctioned him. The apostles hadn't sanctioned him to baptize anybody or to work under their ministry. And so he didn't have authority to do that. So Paul baptized them over. And of course, the fact that their message was messed up. Yes, this note says, don't you think that all children should repent and then seek for the Holy Ghost? Yes. I do that almost with every little child that comes up here, starts praying for the Holy Ghost. I at some point I deal with them about repenting for their sins. Of course, a lot of them don't really understand that any more than they understand that they're receiving the Holy Ghost. It's kind of like I mentioned Sunday about Jesus healing a man, and they ask him, they knew that what he said was, thy sins be forgiven thee. And he healed a man saying that. And he said, is it easier for me to say thy sins be forgiven thee or take up your bed and walk? God knows. When somebody's heart is humbled and before the Spirit of God, God knows you're in a spirit of repentance. He knows that. But there is a truth to the fact that there's a lot of young people that really have never humbled down in true repentance. Even young people that gets the Holy Ghost in the body, some of them really haven't never humbled down and repented of their sins. That was not my mail, evidently. Okay. So, it's a good thing I didn't get it out of Reddit, probably. Let me read you a scripture in Colossians. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. And the righteous run into it and are safe. That's talking about the body of Christ. That's the name of the Lord. Who's bearing his name? That's another thing. Somebody get me the scripture where Jesus said, if I came in my own name, in another name, you'd receive me. But because I came in my Father's name, you received me not. Find me that scripture. Colossians 3:17 says, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Whatever you do, do all. Not say it, do it. How do you do it? How do you do what you're going to do in the name of Jesus? Well, first you got to be in the name. Now, look at where's that scripture? Deuteronomy 12. Twelfth chapter of Deuteronomy. Here he's, now these people are still in the wilderness, or but God's talking to them about he wants a place. Finally, he's going to have a permanent place where he wants the temple built. Look what he says about it in the fifth verse. It said, but unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there, even unto his habitation shall ye seek, and thither thou shalt come. And then look at the the 10th verse and the 11th verse here. He says, but when you go over Jordan and dwell in the land which the Lord your God giveth you to inherit, and when he giveth you rest from all your enemies round about, so that you dwell in safety, then there shall be a place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. Thither shall ye bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, and the heave offering of your hand, and all your choice vows which ye vow unto the Lord. You see what he say? He's talking about the temple. That's where I'm going to put my name. That's for Israel and the whole world to see. There's going to be one place that I'm going to place my name, and there's where I'm going to operate out of, and there is where salvation is going to be found. There's where the message is. There's where my ministry is. There's where the priesthood is. There's where the order of God is. There is where I'm placing my name, and it's going to be a permanent place when I do this. Well, In the book of Leviticus, he even told, you know, we began to set Aaron apart for the ministry. He even said that they would proclaim his name and his authority. That did you ever find that scripture that I was asking y'all about? What was it that I was wanting? John 5:43. Put it up there. Here's what you see, saints, there's something you need to understand. Until we really have a church that God, that Jesus is really the head of, that really bears his name and his authority, until Jesus is the head of the church. He said, I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. See, in other words, if he comes, and really what he was saying, if I would come in the Pharisee name, you'd accept me. Because you'd say, well, we know about the Pharisees, so, you know, you're a Pharisee, so talk to us. Or if you came in a Sadducee name. But Jesus wouldn't take on any other name. He said, I come in my Father's name. God sent him in his name. Gave him a name. And the Lord sent him, and he operated in that name. He wouldn't operate in any of the sects of that day. He wouldn't take on a name of what men had built into separation, of separating God's people. I was talking to a guy today. He's an iPhone repairman. He can repair anything that goes wrong with your iPhone. So if you need to know his name sometime, let me know. I got his cards. He replaced the whole glass for $65. I thought that's pretty good. He did it in 15 minutes. Yeah. So, but he asked me, he said, what do you do? I told him, I said, I'm a preacher. I'm a minister. He said, what kind of church do you preach? I said, it's not a denominational church. He said, that's kind of have, isn't it? But then he added this. He said, that way you don't have to step on anybody's toes. I didn't say anything to him, but I thought, oh, brother, that part's not right. That part's not right. The reason I'm not a denomination is because I'm stepping on all their toes. I know that's false religion. I know they're God's children, but they got a lot of falsehood among them. And I go, God is calling us to the truth. You shall know the truth. A lot of people don't even want to know it. They just want to stay in darkness. They just want to stay in oblivion somewhere and just think that they know enough to be saved by. But the Bible says a lot about how to be saved. Eternally, he that overcometh. Overcometh what? Have you overcome? I guarantee you I have not. I haven't overcome yet. Not everything. I haven't finished my course yet. I've still got things comes up every once in a while that I see I don't like, and I know God has to get me corrected of that. But the more truths of the Word of God, when I came here, I understood more about water baptism than I ever understood before in my life. Because I realized those men understood to be baptized. When Peter said, be baptized in the name, they knew that there was no other place but that little church of 120 that was bearing his name. Come get in this. Get in it. And that's what this place in Jerusalem, the temple, is a picture. Paul began to teach it. Know you not that you are the temple? You're a peculiar people, Peter said. You're a chosen nation. You're royal priesthood. What did he say about them being stones? Lively stones. He was showing that they were chosen of God to be the spiritual temple. Under the new covenant, there's a spiritual house. It's put together with people that are in order, and Jesus is their head, and they bear his name. And anybody that bears any other name cannot qualify. That's right. They can't do the job. And so, we even understand that. That there's an authority. God's going to restore a church, and he's going to have a ministry that he's going to give authority. There's another palm width that God's fixing to use a ministry that is going to mete out heaven. Another part of heaven, another part of the bride is going to be made up by a ministry that God has ordained and God stands behind. You know what he told those disciples? Whatsoever you bind on earth, I'll be bound in heaven. Whew. Whatsoever you loose on earth. We haven't qualified for that yet because God's not backing us up in everything we do. I am looking for God to back up this judgment that took place in this last week. I'm looking for the Lord to move in on the scene. Somewhere God is going to back up a ministry and say, I'll sanction because you're doing what I told you to do. You understand it. You're doing it right. You're doing it with the right motive, the right spirit. And I'm going to back it up. I'm the one that showed it to you. I'm the one that revealed it to you. And you do what the Word of God says. And it's not just a, you know, but it's an understanding. It's a true understanding. I'm thankful for it tonight. I'm thankful for the name of God. I know that the body here in the body of Christ, we're really trying to function in His name. We're truly trying to be the people that are called by His name. We're not just calling His name, but we're trying to come under His authority fully, the authority of the Word of God and the truth of it. I know there's a lot of other godly men, good men out here, and God's letting them do what they're doing until He can make them a part of one body, one faith. You know what one faith means? It means we all believe the same thing. The watchmen, they shall all see eye to eye. Look in 1 Kings 8 right quick. Just give you that scripture where Solomon built that temple. And they begin to dedicate it to the Lord. This is the dedication of the temple, but he's talking here. Verse 27, it says, "But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have built? Yet hast thou respect unto the prayer of thy servant and to his supplication, O Lord God, to hearken unto the cry and to the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee this day, that thine eyes may be open toward this house night and day, even toward the place of which thou hast said, My name shall be there, that thou mayest hearken unto the prayer which thy servant shall make towards this place." See, when he built it, he remembered that God said there would be a place, a permanent place in Israel, under that covenant, where His name would be in the earth, where He would place His name. Well, under the new covenant, that was a picture and a type of the body of Christ that is to bear His name. And we're to work in His name and in no other name. That's why we can't become part of an organization. That's man's doings. God, that's not even man's order. God never ordained. There's nothing in the Bible that shows any order like what they've got out here in Christianity in all these organizations. God hates that. God didn't ordain that. Man did that. Men are building kingdoms, and they've divided God's people doing it. What they ought to have done is everybody came together. The ministry said, "Look, we don't all agree, but we're not separating y'all. So we're all going to work together, and we're going to work on the Word of God until God gives us the answers. We're not going to separate His people. We're going to keep them together." That's what I loved about this when I got here. These men said, "We don't all agree, but we know we have to before we're finished. Before God's through with us, we have got to see eye to eye. The Holy Ghost has got to reveal to us the truth of the Word of God." And God has revealed some things. There's no question, no doubt in my mind whatsoever. You know, Brother Durham was, "Is it okay if I tell what you told me?" He just got back from his mother's funeral. He said, you know, his dad asked him a question. He said, "You know, son, they say that in heaven there's not going to be no sorrow, no tears. And they say she's up there looking down at us." And he said, "Here we all are broke all to pieces." He said, "How could she be happy when we're so sad?" He said, "How could she possibly not be sorrowful when she sees what kind of condition her death has put us in?" He said, I just looked at her and said, Dad, you can rest assured she don't know nothing about what's going on right now. And he said, I think you're right. You know why Brother Durham said that? Because he don't think it. He knows it. He knows. He knows the truth about that. He knows that she's not up in heaven looking down. My mama used to ask me several times about Dad. She said, tell me where he is again. I said, he's in the grave, Mother. He's in the grave. He ceased to exist. He's gone back to dust. I said, God, all it takes is God to speak him back into existence. When it's time, I said, he's not in heaven. Get that out of your head. You know. But I said, when he overcomes, when he finishes, Dad didn't have the Holy Ghost when he died. I said, he'll have to get the Holy Ghost to go to heaven. He'll have to resurrect and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He'll have to be baptized right. If he wasn't baptized in Jesus' name, he'll have to be baptized right. Well, this has got to be done right. And you know, when I heard it, I said, let's just get it done. Bless God, let's do it right. I said, I want to make it. You just show me how it's got to be done. I'm willing to do it. I want it done right. I want to do it right. I said, if I find out y'all are wrong about this and there's another right way, I'll do that. I'm going to make it. I want to make it. It's, you know, I'm not so proud that I can't humble down. When they told me this, this made more sense than anything I ever heard of. Thank God I didn't get baptized by some woman in a bathtub and held on to that and thought that's all right. Huh? Huh? Yeah. Yeah. So, there's a lot for us to learn, I'll have to say that, and you don't get it all in one time. You young people, some of you, I have to hear this again. Probably hear it more than once. I know some of you didn't get it tonight. Some of you was talking and playing while I was giving you the golden truth of the Word of God. It didn't mean a thing to you. But someday you'll be interested enough that you'll say, I got to get this. I want to know about this. I want to tell my kids about this. I want them to understand this. I want to be baptized in his name, and I don't mean to say anything. Doesn't mean if a man of God is operating in the name of Jesus and he talks to you about salvation, convinces you you need to repent of your sins and be baptized in water, and he puts you down in water, you're going down in the name of Jesus, whether he says anything or not, if he's in the name. He's operating in the name. There wasn't anybody operating in that name in the New Testament except for those apostles and the men that they ordained. See, they ordained them, and that made it, that sanctioned it. They might as well have done it themselves when they told a man, you know, when they ordained another man of God to do it. God recognizes that. So I just thought I'd give that to you here tonight. I really didn't mean to talk about it too long, but I think some of these things is good to go over, especially for our young people, and then there's other ones that hadn't been here too long, even if you've been baptized. I remember one Sister Durham asked me one time, she said, Brother Smith, I know I was baptized right when you baptized me the first time. But we was fixing to have a baptism service. She said, you know what? I really understand this now. And she said, would it be all right if I get baptized again? Because I just want the Lord to know that I understand what I'm doing. And I said, yeah, it's an answer of a good conscience. If you got anything in your conscience, get in the water. I said, yes, I think the Lord would honor that. God would appreciate that. So, then, you know, for those of you that are, you know, hadn't been in this way too long, remember what I said in the beginning of this. Remember this song, how does that say that, Sister Lynette? About when a day get when a something about a dark when it's dark or when it's tough. Dark clouds may come and go. But this one thing I know. He's got my word in the palm of his hand. Just remember what I told you about Sister Smith. You won't always be struggling with the flesh. You won't always be struggling with your transition of coming into the body of Christ and really getting established where there's, you know, where you there's nothing in your mind or in your spirit that's causing you to ever want to run away or run off or leave it. Or you'll be established. Just keep coming. Just keep coming. Get prayer as often as you need to. One of these days, you'll be like me. Sister Angie, one day I was driving down the road in my van. I was singing that song. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. And when I sang that time, something broke inside of me and I came to a realization. I really have decided. It's fixed inside of me. I struggled. I went through struggles to get established. One day I sang that song, Hallelujah, and I knew that something inside of me was fixed, that I was a part of God's body. I was bearing His name. I was operating in His name, and it was fixed in me. I made a decision, Hallelujah, and there wasn't any backing up on it. God fixed that in my heart. This ministry fixed that in my heart. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So, let's keep working in His name. Let's don't get lured off into other names. If you've got an understanding that this whole world's going to have to come into that one name, they're going to have to operate in the name of Jesus and get all these other names off of them. Let me tell you something, that's important. It's important. You say, Brother Smith, don't you want to see people saved? You bet I want to see them saved. I want to see them saved right, eternally. I don't believe nobody out here is getting people saved eternally. There ain't a message out there that'll cause you to overcome sin. I hadn't found anybody with a message, even a message of perfection. Even a message that shows you've got to overcome and you've got to reach perfection. You've got to overcome this Adamic nature. And it takes the truth of God's Word to do that. Because it all intertwines and it all folds together. And it's so important. I realize God's even got people out there doing a job. There's a John the Baptist ministry. The Baptists are, that's their message. Get everybody they can. Get them to repent. They're not getting very many of them full of the Holy Ghost, but when John's disciples come over here, and I think that's going to happen, because John, you watch the Baptist movement out here, they're going to get their head cut off, because they're going to rise up against the dragon before this is over with. They're going to rise up against this dragon system out here. They're right now, the Baptist is the strongest movement against it, against this political powers that's tearing down godliness in this nation, and they're holding on strong against it. And before they're going to get their organizational head cut off, just like John the Baptist did. But before they do, they're going to get their eyes open to the body of Christ, and they're going to begin to point their people to this direction. And when we get them, when they come in here and begin to get this message and get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, That'll be a great sign for you to see what, when God begins to do that and John's disciples come in here and begin to receive this, My wife found something in our move, and I wish I'd have brought that. It was a message given out in tongues and an interpretation that we had in Republic in 2007. And Sister Cindy, I think, typed it up. And I wish I had it here to read to you, if she's got it, I may. Is that the one? Surely we didn't have more than one. Is it? Send somebody up. Somebody bring it up here to me. One of you youngins, get that. Brother Dave, here he comes. Maybe I'll read it. See if it's got it right there handy. Mm-hmm. Yes, I said that. Brother McGowan's reminding me to say something more. That you don't have to wait till you understand the baptism of water to get baptized in water. The main thing, you know, and that's what, I mean, most people, when they really want to be saved and want to repent of their sins, they just do what they're told to do. You know, they'll get baptized right then. Trade you? Well, is this there a love letter to somebody or what is that? Oh, this is the same thing, just wrote better, huh? I want to see if this is the one I'm talking about. Yes. This is not it. Yeah, hand me that one. This was good, too, though. I forgot about this. Yeah, you can. I'll save this for later. Hold on to it, sister. When was that? That's 2003 you got wrote on there. I just saw this today and I read it. He wants us to begin to pray for his people that are away from him. Those who have backslid and are out of church. His children. The reason I want you to pray for them is because I want you to care about what I care about. And I'm dealing with my people to bring them home and to bring them back into my body. He's fixing to do something new. He's dealing with his people. God is going to heal people. He's going to begin to heal wounded hearts and spirits. Just like he had first brought the ministry together in this body before he begins to deal with us to make a change, another move. Let me read that again. Just like he has first brought the ministry together in this body before he begins to deal with us to make a change, another move, to get us ready for the latter rain. But he wants us to begin to pray. I want you to get the burden that I have for my people, for this body, and for the lost in this world. I want you to sincerely begin to pray for those I've touched through you, through this assembly, and your lives. Begin to sincerely pray for them. Then I said I was reminded about fasting and praying that we started after the mighty move of the Spirit that we had in January 18, 2004. I felt like the Lord said, "Why did you stop? You were causing me to move on those people. God can do this, of course, without us. That's not a problem for him. If we can't help them when they get here, if we don't have the burden for them, we're not going to be able to accomplish what God wants to accomplish. God wants saviors to rise up on the Mount Zion and begin to live a life of servitude, to serve others. Why I want you to pray is because I want you to care about what I care about." Then we sang the song, "Jesus, Use Me." And an unusual lengthy move of the Spirit took place whereby many saints were drunk in the Spirit. I just thought I'd read that to you, but God's, we shouldn't lose sight of a restored church. And the fact, and here's the thing, saints, when God gets a ministry that he can really stand behind, and he finally sanctions and gives them, you know, he stands behind them fully and gives them the power and the gifts of the Spirit to operate in, people are going to come. We're not going to have to struggle. But it's a struggle right now because people don't want, you know, to give up the flesh. There's not that many people in the world, especially when there's a bunch of churches telling them they don't have to give it up and that they don't have to overcome sin, and that you can just go to heaven just about in any old kind of condition. So, you know, should we have evangelism? Yes, I think we ought to have evangelism. I think we ought to have people that's helping the lost to get saved. But just remember this. Nobody can get saved unless God moves on them to get saved. No man cometh unto me except my Father draws him. If you think you're big enough to just go out here and talk people into getting saved, you can go convince people of your ideology about that. But if God's not dealing with that person and their heart doesn't really break down and it's really not a work of God, you're playing church and you're doing something God may not have authorized you to do. Should we testify? Should we? Yes. But we are to be led by the Spirit of God. We are to feel something. The Holy Ghost are to be leading us. There are to be a connection there. And I think there is. I think there's plenty of people we could be touching. I think there's plenty of people in Little Rock that needs the body of Christ and are ready for this message. They need saved. There's people out here just flat out right need saved of their sins. They need got out of the world. So it's a difficult. It's difficult to help people understand that there's going to be true church and the end of this world, and that we've got that vision and that we want to be that, a part of that. Not just us, but a connected body, which we already see. It's in the making. It's in the developing. God called William Souders to do that. And he's calling you to be a part of it. He wants you to have a revelation of that. He wants you to climb up higher. You young people have to get a revelation for yourself. You can't stay here. You young people can't stay here unless you get that revelation. I'm telling you, God will give it to you. He wants you to have it. And I believe you are receiving it, you know, in a measure. But I think God can give you, I think God can fix you young people just like he fixed me. I think you can sing that song. And I don't think you have to wait till you're as old as I was when I sang it. I think young people can sing a song, "I've decided to follow Jesus," and I believe it can be fixed in their hearts. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. All right. Yes. Hallelujah. Yeah, give us a song. Before you sing the song, Sister Lynette, maybe let's let the ushers come to receive. Somebody may have $1,000 they brought to church to give, and we're not even going to give them opportunity to give it if we're not careful. So let's let the ushers come and receive the offering this evening. Another reason that I want to do this is because our offering the last two weekends has been very shy to normal. Where the other offering plates are, but there's four of them here. one of them is, if you fill it up with money, you won't see that. Also, there's a pen here with a, you young people see this pen? Does anybody want to claim it? It's got some kind of, it looked like maybe a lion and a, some puppy dogs. One of them's blue. Looky here. You young people, look up here. Y'all see this? Oh, here he comes. This there belongs to Elisha. All right. Praise God. There you go, buddy. This little purple thing here, I don't know, is this good for something? This is, I don't know what, you, oh. Is it yours? It is. Well, come get it. Come get it so you don't lose it. Okay, Shaney.
Since I found the body of Christ, life's worth living. Now I have,
oh God,
a hope worth striving for. Since I found the people of God, life has never been the same. I'm so thankful to be in His precious. Living.
friendly.